This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws. But what about tax laws? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendy-Zadeh.
Today, Nicole, we are breaking down the Great Hard Seltzer scam.
Oh, yes, we are.
It's a scam, and they are scamming their way into and out of so many things.
Joanne the Scammer.
Who's Joanne the Scammer?
Asterisk White Claw.
All right, so the reason I'm saying the Great Hard Seltzer scam here, It's not technically a scam because they find ways around it. But the reason I really wanted to talk about this is because I don't think a lot of people know what exactly hard seltzer is, especially White Claw, which you're familiar with White Claw, Nicole.
I am, but I don't know what it is. I just know that it's an easy drink.
That's all people know.
It's an easy drink. Yeah.
And it tastes great.
You don't have to think about anything whenever you're drinking White Claw.
Nothing. It's purely
or
neutral.
Hard seltzer, I'm
which
sorry.
Is a great segue into what it actually is. It's plain flavored beer. So there is one of my favorite jokes from The Simpsons. I bet Bill Oakley wrote this. He is a friend of the podcast. Go listen to the Bill Oakley guest episode if you have a chance. But they're the Bible-themed theme park that Ned Flanders creates.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, we got all kinds of foods. We got gummies. And Bart goes, what flavor gummies? He goes, my favorite flavor, plain. And like that is literally what White Claw is. It is a plain flavored beer. They brew it in the same exact method. And they do that because it's cheaper because of tax laws to brew something as a fermented malt beverage as opposed to, say, like hard alcohol inside seltzer. So when they say like spiked seltzer, what I imagine that as is like a bit of hard grain alcohol like vodka or even just something like Everclear, right? That's put into a seltzer water, which is something that people have been drinking at crappy concert venues for years, you know?
Yes, exactly. My question is then why doesn't it taste like beer? And don't say because they remove it with science, unless it is how they do
they
it.
They remove it with science, No, actually, this is really fascinating. Something I didn't know before we started researching this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They don't brew it with Marley. With Bob Marley. They don't brew it with barley. So the flavor in beer, I mean, obviously they add hops and whatnot, but you know, it comes from that fermented barley. What they do with White Claw is they're just fermenting plain cane sugar that has almost no taste when you distill the alcohol.
So rum?
I mean, rum is like, you know, made in barrels and that's where you get a lot of the flavor. And I think it's made with the molasses from cane sugar. But they're taking like literally the most base level way to make alcohol of fermenting plain white sugar and then turning that into essentially beer. So it is just plain flavored beer. And I know it's not actually a scam because, you know, it's following all the tax laws and everything. But like, I think people don't. There's this lack of self-awareness when it comes to White Claw drinking, and I think it's like fascinating to break down all the facets about it. But like you said, it's a very easy drink, and I have drank a lot of, I am very pro White Claw. I've always been pro White Claw. When's the first time you had a White Claw? Do you remember your first claw?
Oh man, yes. I went to go watch a football game.
You watched a football game?
Yeah, of course. When? I watched them.
Like in person?
No.
Oh, okay.
And the television. and then I was just hanging out with a bunch of dudes, and I had a White Claw, and I was like, cool, this tastes like Jolly Rancher water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. And that's pretty much it.
Had you been exposed to White Claw discourse before that?
Never.
So you hadn't heard of it at all, and you just drank it. You were like, this is a new product in the market.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
But I'm always the kind of girl, and they go, like, here, try this. I say, okay. Like, I'm just a very open-minded person. So if someone's handing me a drink that's closed,
I was going
to
say,
I had to specify.
This is veering in a strange territory.
No. If you hand me a drink that's closed and you know safe to drink, and you say, hey, try this, I'll probably try it because I'm a curious person. I like to try new things.
Yeah, I agree with that. I drank a lot of questionable stuff in college. I will drink anything that is offered to me. We used to make something simply called Riot Punch that was mostly blue Hawaiian punch and grain alcohol.
What?
And a little bit of lemon juice in there for flavor.
Is that the cousin of Milk Punch from It's Always Sunny?
Yes.
I had a feeling.
Actually, no. Riot Punch is a joke from It's Always Sunny, and we stole the recipe, essentially.
Nice.
But we put it in a big Gatorade container. Anyways, the first time I had a White Claw, it was similar with a bunch of dudes watching college football. We were like on vacation, and we got this Airbnb at the beach up in Pismo Beach. It's really fantastic. And I'd like heard of White Claw, and I was like, well, these things have existed for forever, right? And I'd like seen them in the like liquor case when you go to like, say, a Ralph's grocery store. You go to like the cold beer section, and there's always like 1/30th of the rack is partitioned off for the like various Mike's Hard Lemonade adjacent beverages.
Isn't Mike's Hard Lemonade hard seltzer?
So Mike's Hard Lemonade is a fermented malt beverage, so it is like essentially the same thing, and the parent company, Mike's Hard Lemonade, is the same one that makes White Claw.
Which is
to me a very fascinating part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this whole hard seltzer charade, I don't think it's a scam, it's a charade, but charade doesn't sound as good in a title.
No, it's the great hard seltzer smart decisions from a business standpoint. That's what it is.
It honestly is. It is a genius business proposition.
Yeah.
Because the real scam is that we've been scamming ourselves into convincing ourselves that we love light beer, right?
I don't like light beer.
I don't like light beer either.
Who's going to drink a Michelob Ultra just to drink it? Nobody.
No, and I agree. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who will just like drink light beers for the enjoyment. But I mean, ever since I was 21, you know, I felt like I was pressured to think that I enjoy light beer, right? Like maybe this is a kind of like male thing where you have to like prove your masculinity by how much light beer you can crush, which to me is wild because light beer is literally just like lower calorie beer. It's the Virginia Slims of beer products, you know what
I mean? Yeah. Okay.
And so like I've had to, you know, go to football tailgates, parties, whatever, and it's like, oh man, this this Bud Light that's been sitting out at room temp for the last 48 minutes is delicious. I love it. I could drink 30 of these.
And you would drink 30 of them.
I would drink 30. I mean, not quite 30. That's Wade Boggs level, but...
Who's Wade Boggs?
Wade Boggs is a baseball player. This is another It's Always Sunny reference.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that one. When they go into the airplane.
Yeah.
And then they all drink, and they're just really, really drunk on the plane, and then they get to the field.
Yeah.
Totally. Great episode. Why are we talking about It's Always Sunny?
Like, I don't know. I must have watched an episode recently.
Okay.
But, like, people were convinced that they should like the taste of light beer. And, I mean, I generally like the taste of the heavy equivalents of light beers.
Yeah. Is Heineken a heavy beer?
I don't know. No, I think Heineken has a light. I'm not a big fan of Heineken, but I love, like, Coors Banquet. I think is a really fantastic
lager.
Never
had it.
You never had Coors Banquet? What about just, like, Budweiser, straight Bud Heavy?
Nope.
You never had Bud? Didn't you make something for GMM called Bud Heavy?
Yes, I did.
And I feel like I brought up the fact that
my hair was in it.
You put your hair in it?
No, I just shed a lot and my hair was in it accidentally.
But like Miller Genuine Draft, like these, you know, somewhat fuller flavored beers, and then their light beer equivalent to me just tastes like, I mean, it tastes like a beer flavored hard seltzer.
Now
they make hard seltzer without the beer flavor, thus exposing the great charade that people ever liked the taste of light beer because they didn't.
Yeah, it tastes like pee-pee.
It tastes like pee-pee, right? It tastes like pee-pee.
I don't like it.
No.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it either. I had a gag reflex. I could not smell. I could not smell a light beer because of an unfortunate incident. But like, I couldn't smell light beer without gagging.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For years.
Yeah, you want the Dumb and Dumber thing?
Yeah, exactly. But no, and now people just realize that they don't like it. And the sales of hard seltzer have like completely exploded over the last 3 years, especially.
You know what I'm a big fan of?
Huh.
Hard kombucha.
Hard yes.
I love hard kombucha. I had some recently, and it was delicious, and it had like a mushroom on it, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
What brand?
I don't remember. It had a mushroom on it.
There's a brand of hard kombucha that I've been drinking called Giant, but with a J, so maybe it's
Giant. Yeah, I've seen that one before, Giant. Yeah,
very, very pretty cans.
Yeah.
You know, and it tastes delicious. But like, speaking of scamming ourselves into thinking things taste good, because I think that's a phenomenon that happens a lot.
Are you talking about light beer or are you talking about White Claw?
I'm talking about light beer because White Claw, it doesn't taste great, but you make the trade-off of like, this thing is providing me with alcohol, which is a thing that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes a little bit worse than just the thing without alcohol.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
But like, White Claw is significantly less offensive than light beer to get you to that goal.
Yes.
Right?
What's your favorite White Claw flavor?
Black cherry.
Ew.
I know. No one likes black cherry, which is perfect for
me
because then I get all
the
black cherries.
Yeah, yeah. I really love mango, but I prefer groovy grapefruit.
The grapefruit's good because I feel like grapefruit is the most, it's like the most commonly known seltzer flavor. Like I think when people think of LaCroix, they think of pamplemousse.
Well, that's because it's pamplemousse.
It's pamplemousse.
Because it's named pamplemousse.
I don't know why I like saying it. Like pamplemousse. But I think like grapefruit is such a seltzer watery, soda watery thing.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. One time I played Flip Cup with White Claw. Great idea.
Oh, don't play Flip Cup outside with wine on a hot day.
Wine?
Yeah. I played Flip Cup with red wine once.
I would have a headache.
Yeah. No, that happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
Are there other foods out there that you think people have sort of scammed themselves into thinking tastes good? Because you mentioned kombucha. I feel like I naturally love the flavor of kombucha. It's sour, it's fizzy, it's a little bit sweet. It's vinegar. But I like vinegar.
Yeah, I like vinegar.
But do you think like a lot of people out there are drinking it for the benefit that they think it gives them, where like White Claw or light beer, the benefit that people thought they were getting was that, you know, like we're happy because we've drank alcohol.
Yeah. No, I think kombucha is one of those things that people are just like, well, I'll just drink it because it's good for me.
Do you think in 10 years we're going to see like this huge kombucha relapse where everyone's like, yo, that time when we were drinking straight vinegar was gross?
I wonder if there's going to be studies that say actually kombucha hasn't done diddly squat for you.
I always think
that's
about
what
that.
I'm curious about.
Because like, have you noticed any change in your body since you started drinking kombucha?
No, because I don't care.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. Where I kind of feel like I'm so unaware of my own body it's doing.
I think we used to do yoga, Josh.
No, I tried doing yoga, but I like tore my rotator cuff and hurt my Achilles.
We need to do something to like center us so that we're more aware of our bodies.
Yeah, this podcast is a cry for help. Can someone please come to the studio and just like
center our chi. Center my chi, please.
Make us feel good, you know, like I don't know, if it's Reiki healing, if it's yoga.
Reiki?
If we just need a therapist to come in, maybe that could help.
The White Claws are masking the true issues. Okay.
Give me three White Claws and an acupuncturist, and I feel like I'll be centered for years to come.
Cupping.
A little bit of wet cupping, fire cupping.
Fire cupping. Fire cupping's awesome.
Don't do alcohol near fire cupping
because that's
a recipe for disaster.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nicole, there was another canned beverage that was popular with our generation.
What was it?
There was a canned beverage. We could call this the White Claw of our early drinking years.
What is it?
I'm talking about the Locos.
Oh, I can't. I can't talk about Four Locos.
Why can't you? I mean, we can't.
I have PTSD. We can't. I can't. Okay, one time I had half of a Four Loko, and all I remember was burping and nothing else. That's all I remember.
That was what Four Lokos were designed to do, which I think speaks to like the moment of the time. What were people doing back in what was this, like 2010, 2012 or something?
Maybe around that time, yeah.
Yeah, like what were people doing? Okay, so Four Lokos, for context, were in 23.5-ounce cans. Let's say 24, let's round up. And they were 12% alcohol. You asked about vodka Red Bulls.
Yeah, how many Red Bulls are in a can of Four Lokos?
Six.
No, six drinks. Way.
Yeah, straight up.
Same amount of caffeine and
I'm not everything? Sure about the amount of caffeine. Hold on. I want to Google this.
I'm going to be sick from the thought of that. Caffeine. How was that legal?
Well, very quickly, it was not legal.
My God. How do they get past that?
Okay, so people say about 155 milligrams of caffeine mm-hmm. per can, which is the equivalent of about 2 Red Bulls.
That's a lot of Red Bulls.
Ish. It's not like a ton of caffeine, but if you're drinking multiple of them, that's where the danger comes in. But like the main danger was that it's an entire bottle of wine is what it is that you're drinking if you drink a can of Four Loko. And so that's equivalent of, 6 White Claws or 6 standard light beers, which is 12 ounces at 4%, which is absolutely incredible. But like seeing how people's tastes have changed, hopefully for better. And again, Four Loko, there were, I believe, a couple of underage drinking deaths because if kids are drinking 6 drinks and they don't know it. I remember seeing a post on Yahoo Answers like years ago where some teen said like, hey, I'm 16 years old. I'm going to a concert. And my friends tasked me to bring the beer. And I was thinking of bringing Four Loko brand beer. Does anyone know if this beer is?
No,
I was like, no. Like if you're thinking that Four Loko is like a Bud Light.
Yeah.
I mean, you totally understand why like all those terrible things happened. And again, that was our generation's White Claw. White Claw is also our generation's White Claw.
Yeah, I mean, no, White Claw is a little bit more compact. It's, single serving. There's no caffeine in it. Like,
thank God for that.
No. I think it's much more of a well-adjusted product.
It is. And I think well-adjusted is a good way to put it because I think that's part of the sell.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, I think you can kind of follow the way that beer sales have fallen. They haven't fallen, but beer sales in the last year jumped 1%, which is like nothing for market growth. And then hard seltzer sales jumped something like 225%.
It's incredible.
Which is unreal. Yeah. And so that's why all these beer companies are now coming out with their own hard seltzers. Yeah. Natty Light peach flavored hard seltzer, fan freaking tastic.
Interesting.
And as a diehard Natty Light stan, I absolutely respect
that.
What
is the full name of Natty Light?
Natural.
Light. Never have I ever had a natural light.
What about Busch Light?
What?
Busch Light. Keystone Light?
I don't drink these alcohols.
You gotta drink the third tier light beers. Those are because they all taste the same.
No,
right?
I like to drink Modelos and Pacificos.
I like Modelos and Pacificos. Those they don't sell those in what we would have called racks or bricks, which is a 30-pack. Cubes, people call them.
Yes.
So you need to get the ones that fit in cubes.
Why? Because they fit into your fridge better?
Yeah, they stack better. And
I'm learning so much about your culture today. It's
Thank
great.
Thank you so much.
So interesting.
But I think the rise and fall of the diet soda industry mimics that with the beer industry as it relates to seltzers. Because LaCroix exploded, maybe what, like 6-7 years ago?
I'd say so, yeah.
LaCroix absolutely exploded. They got into Costco. And now, how many? There's like Waterloo. There's,
Spindrift.
Yes, love me some Spindrift. But there's all these big non-hard seltzer, soft seltzer brands of sparkling water. I think it's just seltzer.
I think it's soft seltzer.
Well, there's hard seltzer, soft seltzer.
No.
Soft seltzer is my
favorite. No, just because one exists does not mean in this universe the other one has to exist.
You usually have like a soft drink, right? That's literally where it comes from. It's the opposite of a hard drink, which it means has alcohol in it.
Oh, well, now my whole theory's just gone to poo-poo.
And then in the Book of Mormon, they use the term hot drink. To
yes,
anything.
You told me about this. Not the musical.
Yeah,
the
not
actual
the
actual Book of Mormon.
Yeah, it started as a book and then got turned into a musical.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. kind of like the Rugrats story of Passover.
Yeah. Originally, that was in like a book. Although the Rugrats did a really good job of summarizing it, and that's still where I know most
about
Passover.
Wait, so is the Book of Mormon actually the Book of Mormon?
Yeah, like the Mormon Bible is called the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, but the play that we watch and sit
down. No, that's not like a theatrical version of the events in the actual
book.
But
it's funny.
Yeah, it's like a comedy from Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
I drink too many hard seltzers before
Welcome
I came
to the
on.
Podcast. Josh explains religion to Nicole. It's a comedy play. Josh Gad was the original lead. Anyways, let's talk about the rise and fall of hard sodas.
Is that freaking the snowman?
What?
The snowman.
Josh Gad, yeah, Olaf.
Yeah.
Bro, I just watched Frozen 2 days ago for the first time. I drank a bunch of cocktails and watched
snowman.
Frozen. It was a great time. Yeah, really engaging character. I really liked him.
You can go back to the podcast now. Sorry.
Diet soda. They've seen the same like lack of growth in sales, and that's because of stuff like LaCroix and Spindrift and all that. And I think it's like because people think they're healthier by not drinking artificial sweeteners. So like there's been a lot of negative PR about aspartame mm-hmm. and all these things and
makes sense.
Links to cancer, which I've read the research. I don't actually believe it's linked to cancer, but like it can't be good for you to cheat God that way. You know, with artificial sweeteners, that's something I think about a lot. You simply can't cheat God. But anyways, I think people think that with hard seltzer, it seems like virtuous, right? It seems like it's healthier than beer, but they're like the same amount of calories.
Oh, they are?
A lot of people think that hard seltzer has less calories than beer, but the whole point of light beer is to do a beer with fewer calories. And so like some light beers, I mean, Miller introduced one called Miller 64 that has 64 calories per 12 ounces, and White Claw is at around 100, and almost every standard light beer is between 90 and 100 calories.
I never knew that.
I believe there's like fewer carbs technically, and I think like one of the first times I heard about White Claw, I believe, was from like someone who self-identified as keto.
Interesting.
God, how did keto become like a lifestyle identifier now?
I don't know.
But it kind of did. And so there might be something to do with net carbs because it's just from sugar, not barley. And I don't really know all about that. But like there's this sort of like virtue of health idea that I think White Claw imparts. And like the white cans, you know, implying purity.
The water implying purity.
Exactly.
What about Smirnoff Ice, Josh?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought up Smirnoff Ice.
I've never had a Smirnoff Ice before.
If you want something that tastes like a Jolly Rancher, Smirnoff Ice tastes like a Jolly Rancher.
Really?
Is Maggie mad that you've never had a Smirnoff Ice?
Yeah. Sorry, Maggie. I've never been iced before. Now's your chance. I see.
It'd be good if I just pulled one out from under the table. No, Smirnoff Ice is really good, but the thing is, it has a ton of sugar in it.
Uh-huh.
And so White Claw is technically, they have, like, I believe a tiny bit of sugar that just comes from the artificial flavoring they're adding. They put a little bit of sugar in there to sort of round it.
Sure.
But all the sugar that they use to ferment it into this weird, like, beer seltzer proto-alcohol thing ferments into alcohol, and so it's not digested as sugar or whatever. The only sugar you're consuming, you're getting drunk off of, which is the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so Smirnoff Ice, I think, you know, Smirnoff Ice didn't have the opportunity to get into this hard seltzer game because there's so much sugar in it. And even if they made diet Smirnoff Ice, people are so against artificial sweeteners these days.
Yeah, they turned off of it.
Yeah, that this beer, like White Claw is beer. Soylent Green is people.
Is Smirnoff Ice beer?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's a fermented malt beverage. But it's beer, but it's like, you know, equivalent to like a soda just because it's like very heavily sweetened.
Okay, so you're trying to tell me that all these things that I've known my whole entire life are beer.
Yeah, I would call them beer. I mean, I know beer purists would come in and say they're not beer, but for all intents and purposes, I would consider these fermented malt beverages.
If I go to this store, you like to do this to me, so I'm going to do it too. If I go to the store and go, hey, Josh, thanks for coming over. Can you bring a six-pack of beer? And then you're like, hey, I brought some Bon and Viv. I'd be like, go back to the store. That's not beer.
I do agree with you. And I'm using beer in like a very loose term just to kind of like prove a point that everything that is new was once old.
So who's the real scammer? The scammer?
I'm a real scammer. White Claw in hard seltzer, it's not a scam. But to me, it's just like it's very strange. And it almost kind of like exposed this decades-long light beer scam where we all pretended to like it. But we don't.
I was never a part of that universe, though.
I think it's a somewhat like masculine experience.
I guess.
You know, and I think a lot of people dealt with that. And they were pressured.
I didn't. I'm sorry. I don't share the experience that you did.
But now, are 21-year-olds getting pressured into drinking White Claws? Now, like, are you going to be the odd man out if you, like, don't prefer a White Claw? Like, are there drinking games being played with White Claws? Is it going to become the same light beer culture around White Claw?
I don't think so.
Do you think light beer is going to, like, stay king in that regard?
I think, yeah. I think there's an attractiveness to light beer. I don't see it. But I think it's there for, like, the college kids. And, like, you know, the just-turned-21 kids. Like, they want to try and do things that have already been set in place for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Continue the legacy of light beer.
That makes sense. And, like, I have a lot of fond memories associated with light beer. Like, in college and, you know, drinking with friends. And it's something that you can, like, sip on and drink a fair amount of without feeling too bad because there's so little alcohol and calories in it. But I remember when I had these White Claws for the first time with my best friends when we went up to Pismo Beach, someone brought like a 12-pack of White Claw, and then of course we had like 90 light beers with us. We had a lot of friends. It's not
That's
like three of us. There were like 15 of us.
Okay.
Remember back when people could like gather in a place?
Oh my God, the best.
We used to do that. We had like 15 of us and a bunch of beer, and we all like drank this 12-pack of White Claw, and we're like, oh, now it's time to crack into the light beer. And then everyone just kind of stared at it, and we're like, hey, someone run to the liquor store and get more White Claw?
Yeah.
And we did. And then we only drank White Claws and Natty Light Hard Peach Seltzer throughout this entire weekend because we were like, after drinking White Claws, we're like, there's no reason to go back to light beer. And we're not trying to like impress anyone, you know, like, and we have disposable income because sure. none of us have like kids or any real lives. And White Claws are a little bit more expensive, less cost prohibitive. And so we just drank White Claws. And so like, I understand the appeal and it is, God, it's better than light beer. They made a fantastic product at the exact right time of cultural moments that all came together. And now it's crazy watching all these companies try and like reap that.
Scrounge up what they can.
Yeah, because they all are. All the big beer manufacturers are making hard seltzers. And like more power to them.
What's your favorite hard seltzer other than White Claw?
Truly.
You like Truly? I've never had Truly. I don't like Truly.
Okay, what's your favorite like soda water? Like you have like...
Oh, I love Perrier. It's right next to me. I love Perrier.
It's really funny that you have the tall Perrier can because that's like a pretty... Perrier's got the bougie can, right?
You mean the style of can is higher.
Yeah, it's the taller, thinner, sexier can.
Sleeker, yeah, it's sleek.
It's a sleeker can. So I was talking about the diet soda industry and how it's kind of trying to mimic the seltzer water industry, mm-hmm. right? So Diet Coke back in 2018, do you remember the new Diet Coke flavors they introduced?
I don't even look at Diet Coke when I walk past it. I don't drink Diet Coke. I like regular Coke.
I am a huge fan of Diet Coke because you can drink 80 of them and it only makes you stronger. The chemicals in them preserve your blood from the inside out.
The taste of aspartame makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's why you got to keep drinking it until it doesn't.
No, that's not how Diet Coke works. No, it's not how life works. Nope.
So Diet Coke introduced these new flavors and they introduce them in new cans that look like the Perrier can or look like, you know, the bougie LaCroix?
The mixed flavor ones?
The mixed flavors and they're all in French?
I don't like them.
Give me Pumbaya any day. I don't even know what it means.
Pumbaya?
But they're in the
Bless
sexy.
Bless you.
They're in the sexy tall cans. So Diet Coke introduced these new flavors in sexy tall cans. And they had flavors that very strongly mimicked these fancy flavors of LaCroix. So it was like blood orange, black cherry. One had some sort of like spice in it. Yeah, dude, there was black cherry and blood orange Diet Coke. And they all tasted really bad. The craziest thing, like Diet Coke was obviously trying to mimic seltzer water, whatever. But then the director of Diet Coke, which is a great title that I would like to have one day for the Coca-Cola Corporation, referred to it as America's top no-calorie sparkling beverage.
Oh, wow.
Didn't even consider it soda.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if like, you know, talking about is hard seltzer technically beer, I'm wondering if beer eventually is just going to start calling itself hard seltzer because that's what it is. It's barley flavored hard seltzer.
You think it's going to start to go in that direction?
I mean, the way it's going.
Just due by the sales?
I think so. I mean, I think beer is still king and I don't think it's ever actually going to be surpassed. But I mean, it is like absolute exponential growth. And I think once you tear down this charade that anyone ever
Why
liked light beer.
Why are you saying it's charade?
It's charade. No, it's charade.
Since when?
Charade sounds fancy, and I'm a fancy young man.
Charade is a name.
Who drinks my witte claw.
So what you're trying to say is you want to create a drink mm-hmm. that is basically beer.
Yeah.
And just title it hops flavored mm-hmm. hard seltzer.
Yeah, indeed. We'll get like a cool graphic designer who used to work for Vice.
Yeah, let's give it a cool name. Let's give it like a cool approachable name.
Yeah, like a
charade.
Charade.
we'll call it charade.
We'll get comedian Charade Brown to a
yes.
Charade Brown a comedian?
I don't know. Who is that?
I'm gonna Google Charade Brown.
I don't know.
Oh, Charade Brown's a senator and Charade Brown is a senator. We'll get Senator Charade Brown. Where's he from? Ohio.
Sounds good to me.
He's going to market.
Sounds good to me.
Our new hard seltzer. Also, we're going to have hop flavor, but also I have this idea where I want to ferment bananas into seltzer.
Okay.
Because I really like banana flavor.
Can bananas get you drunk?
Yeah, bananas can definitely get you drunk. I've never gotten drunk off bananas, but I mean, bananas have a ton of sugar and starch in it. You can absolutely ferment bananas. I think we need to make banana and hops. Banana call. Did you ever drink 99 Bananas, the bananas hard liquor?
Yeah. I did. Do you remember those buzz balls?
Buzz balls. Okay. We could go to an in conclusion. You've heard what we have to say. I want to take this moment, Nicole, to do an in memoriam.
Go for it.
Of all of the beverages that should have surpassed White Claw as the heir apparent to the beer throne. I'm talking Mike's Hard Lemonade.
All right.
Absolutely delicious. I'm talking about the Bud Light Clamato Michelada.
Oh my God. So good.
It's a can of beer with clam juice and hot sauce.
And it's a can of beer with the side of acid reflux, is what it is, and I love it.
And it's absolutely delicious. I'm talking Red's Apple Ale. I'm talking about Buzz Balls.
Oh.
Well, I'm talking about Smirnoff Ice. All lost to the sands of time. because there ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles!
That was good, Jeff.
That was maybe the best one we've done.
Of Monto.
We're growing as podcast hosts and as friends. Okay, first up, we got A-Right311, Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream Chips with Honey on them. Honey, cheddar, sour cream. Yeah. Yeah, that's a win for me.
All I've learned is that Ruffles cheddar and sour cream is a dessert chip. This is what I've learned from other people's opinions.
Have other people said this?
Yeah, people have said that they've had Ruffles and cheddar, Ruffles cheddar with sour cream with sweet things. I personally had it with whipped cream once and I was like, holy cannoli, my life has changed. So yeah, it's the world's first and only dessert chip.
One thing I'd like to bring up, and if I may grandstand for a moment.
Okay.
I'd like to advocate here for wet chips.
I am okay with wet chips.
Well, yesterday we were on set. We had a large family-sized bag of nacho cheese Doritos, which I enjoy, but I prefer a spicy chip. So what I did is I took about a half a cup of Secret Aardvark hot sauce, and I dumped that into the bag, and I shook it, and then I ate them with my hands, and then I proceeded to get hot sauce all over every piece of media. Yeah, yeah.
I have a story like that. So there was this girl in culinary school that had a big-time crush on me, so we would sit in the back and just, like, hang out. Mm-hmm. And then one time she's like, hey, I brought us lunch. And I'm like, oh, my God, dope. And then she brought out a bag of Ruffles, cheddar and sour cream, and a bottle of Cholula. And she said, yes. Here you go. So during the whole class, we were just, like, dipping our hands in the bag and then taking the bottle and just putting it on the chip and eating it.
That's like my ideal.
Romantic, right?
You don't like let it soak like cereal where it gets soggy?
No, you literally just dab and go.
Yeah, any wet chips are great.
Joe the Funky Homo Sapien says, why chocolate Reese's are better than milk chocolate Reese's? Fight me. First of all, I'm a pacifist. Second of all, I love white chocolate. Third of all, I don't like white chocolate with peanut butter.
I'm a pacifist. I'll pass a fist across your face. No, I agree. Okay. I love white chocolate, but to me, the whole point of Reese's is to get the flavor combination of milk chocolate and peanut butter, which is a great combination.
Yeah.
If you're eating white chocolate Reese's, you just want peanut butter.
Sugar.
You should just be eating peanut butter.
Yeah. What you should do is take peanut butter, melt it down, add some chocolate chips to it, mix it so it's fully combined, and then you have what you want.
Yeah. Just eat your sweet peanut paste. All right. We got at Ral on condensed milk is the sweet equivalent of ranch.
Yes.
In the same sense that you should drizzle ranch on everything you eat, you should drizzle condensed milk on any dessert you eat.
That's a good idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's settled. Condensed milk is sweet ranch. Congratulations.
You will get your medal in the mail in approximately 4 to 6 months. We have really bad shipping times here.
Yeah, no international.
Eatery says, chocolate cookies with chocolate filling dipped in crunchy peanut butter is the ultimate snack. I don't think it's the ultimate snack. I think it's a good snack and I would eat that, but it's definitely not the ultimate snack. I do like to take a big spoonful of crunchy peanut butter and then dip it in some chocolate chips and then eat it that way. That's good.
My favorite thing, I just take a spoonful of crunchy peanut butter and then I spread it on a whole nanner and then I
whole
eat the
nanner.
Whole nanner.
Whole
and
nanner.
I hoist the nanner in my hands and I squeeze it a little bit and then I smear the crunchy peanut butter on it and then I get to eat a nice chunky covered nanner.
Hand nanner.
You know what I don't like though? I don't like, you know my thoughts on cookies. I'm not, I love chocolate chip cookies.
I don't know your thoughts on cookies.
We did a whole podcast about our cookie thoughts.
Anything?
I don't remember anything we do, man.
You think I remember what
so
I did
much.
Yesterday? You think
so
I remember
much.
What you did 3 months ago?
So
get
much.
Out of here.
Anyways, I like chocolate chip cookies, but they're like not my favorite. Don't
uh-huh.
super love chocolate chips. I'm there for the crunchy cookie, you know? But I especially do not like chocolate-based cookies with chocolate chips or any chocolate filling in it. To me, it's too much chocolate.
Okay.
I need the chocolate to be countered. So, not a big fan of this and the peanut butter. I'm sorry, but I still love and respect you as a person. Eat a reet. At Bryce is cursed. Sorry, Bryce, that you got cursed by an old bog witch. Spam baked with mustard, brown sugar, and pineapple is delicious. Okay.
Sounds good.
It does sound... Mustard, brown sugar, and pineapple on ham is delicious. But yeah. We're not talking ham. We're talking about Spam. And also, we're talking about Spam being baked.
Mm-hmm. What's the issue with that?
Because Spam, to me, the way to get it good is to crisp it. You gotta, like, crisp it with direct heat contact. So, like, fried Spam, unreal. Heavily griddled Spam is great. But I'm imagining they're baking a whole Spam loaf. You know when you grip the Spam can, you go...
Yeah.
You shake it out?
Many times.
Yes. I don't know if I want a whole baked Spam loaf, if that's what they're talking about. If you're talking about slices, abso-freaking-lutely, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, that sounds great. It reminds... So whenever you were talking about big brick of Spam, there's, like, mukbangers that take big bricks.
Oh, no.
What?
They just go on. I was anticipating.
They take big bricks of Spam, and they air fry it, and then they eat it, and it's like... And it's really enjoyable for me.
Okay, we should probably, let's use that. Let's see how many comments we get from listeners on this. Would you watch Nicole host a mukbang video? Because we've been trying to float this idea out here of Nicole loves mukbang culture. Is that correct?
It's so beautiful to me.
Yeah, and I feel like you feel like you could do it.
I sure can. I basically mukbang in my mirror when I'm home by myself. I basically practice.
Nicole, turn your alone time into content. Welcome to the digital media economy.
Fine, I guess. Yeah, just let us know if you want to see a show of me doing that, because I think it would be great.
Yeah, sound off on the Twitter.
Jake_vote_ says, marinara is the best chip dip. False, have you ever had onion dip?
There is a chip dip that is very similar to marinara, except it's spicy. It's called salsa. This person wants spiceless salsa. That's what they're doing.
No, marinara is a very specifically cooked sauce.
It's not. It is literally the opposite of a specifically cooked sauce. Marinara, like, doesn't exist outside of, like, the American context, right? Marinara is not, like, an Italian sauce.
What are you talking about? Marinara exists.
What are the ingredients of marinara?
Tomato paste, basil.
Not all marinara has basil in it.
Onion.
Like, marinara is the American term that we use to call any red sauce, right? We put any sort of tomato sauce on things, sure. You say, like, oh, there's marinara on it.
Okay, sure.
But it's, like, literally just a very specific dish and term that comes from Naples, and then in the American context, it got sort of bastardized. Like, in Australia, for instance, they call any red sauce passata.
Okay.
I got a nice fettuccine with passata. That's not Australian at all. My God, what was that?
Never heard of passata before.
It's really interesting. But like the marinara that we get in a jar, if you were to add chopped pickled jalapenos and a little bit of vinegar to marinara, you'd probably get something close to like a paste picante sauce.
You know what you would get? You would get El Pato.
You get El Pato.
Which I love.
That stuff's good. At SabrinaStarns965, Tabasco on pancakes is yummy. I don't care how many side looks I get from the fam.
You're getting two side looks here.
The acceptable way to put Tabasco on pancakes is if it is in the splash radius for your hash browns.
Yeah.
Because Tabasco got the hard stopper and it's really liquidy.
Yeah.
So you get some splash sometimes. Because I've had Tabasco with a little bit of maple syrup on pancakes because I splash it heavily on the hash browns.
Heavily on your hash browns.
Heavily on my hash browns. And it's not bad on pancakes. It's not my ideal. I'd prefer...
It's okay.
Prefer a syrup.
Yeah, it's all right.
I made the other day... So I have like this great new home bar setup.
And, yeah, you
Nicole,
talk about
I know,
it
hold on.
Wait, much.
I don't talk about that often. But anyways, my great new home bar setup. I've been making my favorite cocktail, which is a penicillin.
Yes.
It requires honey ginger syrup, which they don't really sell in stores. So I made my own honey ginger syrup to put in the cocktail. But one morning, Julia and I were making waffles, and I was like, you know what? I want something to spice this up. I put that honey ginger syrup on my waffles.
Was it amazing?
Oh, my God, amazing. But then I ran out of it for cocktails.
Oh, well. It's always the hand. What is it? Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
That metaphor makes no sense for this
yeah,
context.
Yeah, it does. Listen to a Nine Inch Nails song, why don't you? Okay. Real Stevie_Wonder. Wow, this is a really good opinion. Cake in a bowl of milk is great. Oh, my God. The milk hydrates the cake, and it's so satisfying to slurp up the moist cake. So whenever I first started working in a chocolate store, my friend Yvonne and I used to do this all the time, and literally it was the best thing in the world. So this is the best opinion I've ever seen on this darn show. So way to go, Real Stevie_Wonder. I love you.
This is just Uno Leche cake.
No, it's not.
It's just Uno Leche.
No,
they make tres leches cake.
Cállate. No, it's la verdad. Tú no conocer que hablar con esto.
Sí, gracias. No, I agree. I mean, it is delicious. As a lover of wet foods myself, One of the funniest tweets I've ever seen just said, "Tres leches in this economy?"
I remember you told me that one. Josh, imagine right now you had a shallow bowl.
Yeah,
okay, shallow
bowl. Shallow bowl. Yeah. I'm listening. Hit me.
Stop, you're making me laugh. And then it's a slice of cake.
Uh-huh.
Chocolate cake.
Three layers.
Also has chocolate frosting.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
And then listen. Chocolate frosting on the outside and on the side.
Oh, go on.
And then there's rainbow sprinkles.
Oh, I like the sprinkles. Yeah. Go ahead. Come on. What are you talking about?
And then you pour the cold milk over it.
Oh, yeah. Just like.
That's so good.
Yeah, just like the opinion that we just read. Yeah, that does sound
basically
good.
What I'm saying is, I'm so obsessed with this opinion. It's the best opinion I've ever seen, and I'm in love with you. Okay, go.
I agree. You're an absolutely beautiful person. This is a fantastic opinion. Uno leche cake is here to stay.
Stop saying uno leche.
It's uno leche.
No, it's not.
Leche natural. All right, at Jeff Rocky, all food can be divided into three categories. This is interesting. Soup, salad, or sandwich.
Okay, what is ropa vieja?
Oh, salad. What do you mean? Of course, ropa vieja is a salad. It's a dish. It's not soupy enough to be a soup. There's no starch on it to be a sandwich. It's a salad.
What are you saying?
Quiz me. Hit me.
Okay. Oh my God. Cake. Piece of cake.
Sandwich. It's literally, you just described a cake as having three layers. Obviously, that's bread with fillings.
Layers,
it's a sandwich.
Just because it's layered.
It's a club sandwich. A three-layer cake is a club
What's
sandwich.
What's an enchilada?
Which is a sandwich. Enchilada is also a sandwich because it's a starch with filling.
Okay, a stew. What's a stew?
Soup. Of it's liquidy food. Like, why is that difficult to understand for people?
a bag of chips.
A salad. Depends on kind of chips.
A bag of veggie straws.
What? Oh, that's a soup. Because you use straws to slurp liquid. No, I think the soup, salad, or sandwich thing does. I think it does hint at something like kind of very real in the sense that these food categories that we all talk about, like hot dogs being sandwiches, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's all like very made up. But this person made it up. It's how I feel about continents. Continents don't exist. Europe and Asia, one landmass. Not separated.
Eurasia?
Separated. Yeah. So, but when people say like, well, there are this many continents and that's a fact, and Europe and Asia and Australia.
You don't believe in continents? Are you a flat earther?
No, I don't believe.
You're a flat earther.
No, but if we go by the
flat
definition.
Flat earther.
There are ice walls around them. The government guards them. No, but if we go by like the definition of continent as like, you know, a large land mass that is surrounded by water, then it's like, well, Europe and Asia, why are there two? There's a dividing range of mountains.
Yeah.
So it never made sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's arbitrary.
There's a dividing range of mountains.
People got to cross them, obvi.
Yeah, with planes.
No, people cross them. Did you think people did not go from Europe to Asia before planes?
Yeah, no. It's called the Silk Road.
Yes, actually.
Boats.
And the soap. Anyways.
They did not climb the mountain.
All soups. They figured out what are the Urals? Are they the Ural Mountains?
I think the Caucasus. Isn't it the Caucasus?
We
mountains?
Need to play more Nat Geo quiz.
Big time.
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @NHendyZadeh with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Chicken, check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos every week.
You said Mythical Chicken.
We're rebranding. We're Mythical Chicken now.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
We're a new Nashville hot chicken pop-up competing with the other 9,000 in Los Angeles called Mythical Chicken.